The O.J. Simpson trial has left most Americans thinking about justice and race in America. It left our linguist, Jeff Nunberg, thinking about race and language.
Just after the O.J. verdict was announced, I was talking with a Stanford colleague, a Caribbean-born African-American. He was telling me about an image he'd seen on TV the night before, a spray-painted graffiti in L.A. that said, "The nigger did it." He said, "You know, I've been living in this country for 30 years, and I swear I've never seen or heard that word used in public so much as in the past few months." As I thought about it, 30 years seemed just about right. I recall being struck when I listened to the early episodes of Henry Hampton's Eyes on the Prize on PBS a couple of years ago at how unself-conscious a lot of white people seemed to be about using the word nigger in televised interviews back in the 50s and early 60s. It was only in the following years that this sort of language came to seem a little crude, particularly among middle-class suburban whites. They had already put the beltways between themselves and inner-city blacks, and now they wanted to put a little linguistic distance between themselves and the rednecks in Mayberry RFD. And politicians rapidly learned that they could just talk about welfare queens, quotas, or the element. I don't know that any of it made for a kinder, gentler nation, but it made for a slightly subtler one. But now the word seems to be all over the place again. Of course, I suppose that's partly just the Simpson trial. And it's true that there are a lot of words we never heard used in public so much as in the past few months. Bronco, for example. But the trial isn't the whole of it. There was a telling example on the Larry King show a couple of weeks ago. Robert Novak was the guest host, and Jesse Helms was the guest, and somebody called in from Alabama and said, "Mr. Helms, I know this might not be politically correct to say these days, but I just think that you should get a Nobel Peace Prize for everything you've done to help keep down the niggers." The two men laughed nervously, and then Novak said, "That was the bad word. That was politically incorrect. We don't really condone that language, do we?" Somehow, neither of them got around to saying anything about the content of the caller's remarks, like suggesting it wasn't the sort of thing they ought to award the Nobel Peace Prize for. And in fact, neither of them disagreed with the caller's characterization of the word as politically incorrect. That phrase has undergone an interesting metamorphosis in the last few years. The movement against political correctness may have begun as a reaction to some overzealous academics, but it rapidly spread to a lot of people who wouldn't know a multiculturalist from a generic pronoun. If you took the anti-PC rhetoric at face value, it would make a strange picture, 100 million or so Americans all joined in the great solidarity of unfashionable individualism. But of course, a lot of it is just a convenient excuse for throwing all that hard-won hypocrisy over the side. Whenever you hear somebody start a sentence with, "This may not be the PC thing to say," the way that caller did, it's even odds you're in for some little spot of offensiveness that would have had people walking out of the room a couple of years ago. I mean, back before we learned that every time somebody utters a racial slur, they're striking a blow on behalf of our basic constitutional freedoms. Now, it's true that most middle-class whites are uncomfortable when they hear the word nigger used on the Larry King show or on tapes played in open court. Still, you wonder whether Mark Furman's main problem was that he came off as a racist or that he came off as a redneck racist. Certainly, there are a lot of whites who tend to think of these words the way they think of ordinary profanities. There was a suggestion of this in the coy way the press and the witnesses kept referring to the epithet in question as the N-word. That's the formula we always use for the words we teach our children not to say in polite conversation, and which, of course, they learn to take a naughty pleasure in saying in private. It's a repression that's been simmering for a long time, and you have the feeling that all of a sudden the cork has popped. The verdict is in, and the gloves are off.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center and Stanford University.